The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
4 minutes after 11 o'clock. Good morning. Welcome. I'm John Caldera. So glad you could spend some time with me. In for the big man. Give me a call. 303-696-1971. The governor signs a bill to outlaw so-called ghost guns. Really? Really? What I love about anti-gun laws is that they're always passed by people who know nothing about guns. I guarantee you, no one who voted for these so-called ghost gun laws has ever built a gun. They have no idea what it entails. They've never tried it. They know nothing about it. And they don't understand why those of us who love guns are so very passionate about making sure we have guns they don't know about. And after my trips to Eastern Europe and seeing the worries that they have, seeing the gun confiscations that are going on in Serbia, to see what's happened in Australia, New Zealand, and seeing what happens whenever civilians are disarmed, the dangers that this leads to. Oh, not immediately. But I'm talking in years from now, decades, maybe generations from now. What keeps the power where it belongs with the people? You see, I have this silly, silly feeling, the silly core belief that the individual is sovereign. That the individual is a king to himself. That you are a king, which means as a kingdom, you have certain rights. You have a right to own things, like a king owns his own land. You get to own your own property. You get to protect that property, and you protect your own life, just like a kingdom gets to have an army to protect his land. You get to have the right to have treaties with other people. That is, you get to work with other nations, if you wish, or not, if you don't wish. And every belief I have comes from that core belief that you are an individual and sovereign. And I am an individual and sovereign. It is odd coming from Soviet bloc countries, how they are raised that is not the case. That the state comes first. All right. Let's expand this conversation, shall we? 303-696-1971. Gary, you have been more than patient. Welcome, you're with John Caldera.
Hey, John.
Howdy.
So I like what you're saying about sovereignty. I call it cerebral sovereignty. It is not only we are not sovereign only about our property and extrinsic things, but also intrinsic things about our how we think, what we think, our opinions, and how we see the world, and how we construct the world through a direct individual experience. That's how it's done. That's what sticks, is direct individual experience. What doesn't
stick. Whoa.
So
stop,
well,
stop there, because you just said a mouthful. You just had a mouthful,
I've got a small mouth too, so.
Which is really worthwhile. And let me just take a minute to applaud that freedom of thought is crucial, and in order to have freedom of thought, we need to have freedom of communication so that you can share your thoughts freely, so that I can challenge them, you can defend them. Then you can expand my thoughts, I can expand your thoughts, And that's the beauty of the freedom of thoughts. The left, and George Orwell was so good at this, understands the danger of the freedom of thought, which is why they're very good at word control, semantic control, because if you can control how we speak, you can control how we think. If you can tell me that that man with a penis is a woman, and I must I have to say and believe that that person is a woman, you get to warp truth. If you tell me in Boulder, for instance, I can't own a dog. I can only be a dog guardian. So I can't even own what I own. It's to mess with my brain about what ownership is. The left is good about changing how we think. All right, your turn.
I would just suggest, John, I completely agree. I would suggest it's a layer perhaps deeper than that, and that is how we view reality and how we construct reality. So if our direct experience is how we, in our own head, build our sense of reality and our relationship to it, if now there is an external entity that says, oh, by the way, that's not really reality. What you're thinking and experiencing is not reality. We will tell you what reality is. So they're reconstructing our construction of what reality is to us. And then it's the collective reality. It's no longer individual reality. It's a collective reality that overrides our individual reality and sovereignty.
So reality by committee?
It's reality by plan. And so it's the central planning authority, whatever that may be, however you want to define that. It's the extrinsic versus the intrinsic. That's the big deal here. It's the extrinsic saying what you're actually experiencing, what you think you're experiencing, you aren't experiencing, or you're somehow interpreting that incorrectly. And we're going to tell you how to do that effectively. And so what's happened is that we have, first of all, in our culture, in our country, very short memories. We don't know history. We're very myopic about who and what we are in America. And we can't imagine the future in terms of how terrible it could be, because we've never experienced it and we don't know about it. It's not taught. And we are propagandized and distracted by media, by everything else, not to even consider thinking about it. So when you talk about gun rights, John, the boogeyman is not government. It's not the threat of communism. It's not the threat of China. It's not the threat of totalitarianism. It is the threat of conservatism. That's the boogeyman, conservatives. They want to have plenty of guns. They want to make sure that guns are everywhere. And those guns are a threat to you, but not understanding that the real threat is who wants to take those guns and what they will do to you when you don't have guns.
I'm not sure if I'm following you here. So for the progressive, the threat is conservatives?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's conservatism. It's those of us who believe that in the individual, in sovereignty, because that's against collectivism. It's against the state. It's against its personal authority versus some kind of, again, extrinsic authority. It's authority. It's who has the authority. Once you lose your ability to think rationally, to think as a sovereign, cerebral individual, and you lose that ability to discern and to understand and trust your own individual experience, that's the purpose of the collective. That's the collective. That's the purpose of becoming part of the hive is that you no longer have that. And if you do, it's not authentic and it's not actually real, because they will tell you what is real. Is that
redundant? Let me throw this one at you. Just try it on for size. When you said cerebral reality, that we each interpret the world, you interpret it differently than I do.
Of course.
And you might be right, I might be right, and that's your individual right. You know, maybe you see the color blue differently than I see the color blue. I don't know. And you might think that you don't own your dog. You're just taking care of it. I think you own your dog. Fine. You think that way. Great. I think you're fine. I think you're just fine. And you should be able to think that. This is where the trans issue for me frustrates me and fascinates me, which is the intolerance of the left. I fully believe that people have gender dysphoria, that a man can fully believe that he is a woman. And I respect that. More power to you. So you have an XY chromosome, but you think you're a woman. That's what you think, and that is your reality. And I want you to have that reality. And I think a lot of conservatives don't respect that enough. Great, you feel that way. But somehow, you don't respect my reality, which is you're obviously a dude. Scientifically, you're a dude. And I can't read your mind. And so what's so bizarre about this is that under this new progressivism, somebody's feeling, somebody's interpretation is now to be taken as a scientific reality. Two plus two, we all agree, equals four. But because one person says, no, for me, two plus two equals five, we all have to, for you, say, except over here, 2 plus 2 equals 5. So for Bob, 2 plus 2 is 5. Are we all agreed? For Bob, 2 plus 2 equals 5. That type of insanity is something I just can't wrap my brain around, how we do that and still stay as a cohesive, follow-the-science-based society. Your turn.
We don't. And, you know, science is just a tool of the left, and it's not science. Science is always changing. That's the definition of science. It's always changing because nothing is set. There is no set, settled science. Everything always changes.
There is. I mean, math, 1 + 1 = 2. I think that's pretty settled.
Well, that's not science. I wouldn't call that science. I'd call that's mathematics. That's something, that's geometry. That's something a little bit different. Science is really exploration. It's really exploration of the unknown, from my perspective. But I'll just say this, John. What you're suggesting, I mean, what you're talking about here is, again, the difference between individual sovereignty and the collective. So, agreed, as a conservative, what you want to do with your life and how you see your life, how you see yourself in relationship to the rest of the world, that's your business. It's not my business. What the progressives do is project whatever that is, the fashion of the day, the thought of the day that's fashionable, onto the rest of the population. And again, it goes back to authority. We have the authority to tell you how the world works. We have the authority to tell you what reality is, and it doesn't matter what you think it is or your own experience is, we will tell you what it is, and you must comply. That's the projection, and that's exactly what's happening. And it can go any direction. It can go with, you know, the whole trans thing. It can go about what we call a dog or a dog owner. It can go towards how we view Russia, how we view China, how we view ourselves, and what we think we're entitled to in terms of what we have developed for our own individual lives. And so it's they're tools, but they're all tools of one thing, and that's of authority. So the question is, where does authority lie, with the individual or the collective, with the government or with the individual citizen or person? That's the issue. And that's what's changing. It's what we have in Colorado. You know, Polis the clown is he's very bright, and he's moving this along. The people who are being moved by him don't have a freaking clue where this road leads. And that's the problem. We don't know where this road leads, and this road leads to where all roads in the past have led, and that is every empire fails, and almost every empire turns from perhaps a peaceful democracy, if you will, into some kind of totalitarian dictatorship where you have central authority. And that's where we're headed, and that's what we're seeing in this state as well.
Well, you've brightened my day.
Well, I'm sorry.
Have a great one, Gary. Thank you so much. Yeah. Take care. All right, 303-696-1971. All right, that was cerebral and fascinating, but worthwhile. The thought, the overlap between philosophy and politics is the gray area of my life. And it's important because we get so wrapped up in the battles of the day. It's very easy for us to forget why we do this. Why we want this person to win. Why we want that person to lose. And it gets really personal. It turns into the French Revolution pretty fast. And it's really important to back up and remember why we believe these things that we do. And again, I'll offer mine, and then we'll take a break. We can switch gears. But for me, it boils down to this odd belief. Maybe your belief is different. I believe that I'm sovereign. I believe that you're sovereign. That what that means is that you are a kingdom unto yourself, that you have rights, that you have these God-given things. I think it was Patrick Henry who wrote Common Sense, I'm trying to remember. And he basically said, look at the king, or any king. And he says, well, I'm a lord. And I'm a lord over this, and I've had this divine right. Well, where did you get that? Well, the Lord gave it to me, really. And it was inherited by my father, because my father had it. Well, where did he get it? From his father before him. And basically, he went down the road and said, well, if you follow that logic, at some point, your father's 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 father, whatever, you keep going down, and at some point, you find a thug who just took it, who just stole the land and said, oh, yeah, this is mine. And now I'm going to call it the divine right of kings. And that's immoral. You don't have the right to other people's stuff. You have the right to your own body. You have the right to what's between your ears. You have the right to what you've earned. You have the right to what you've created. That is yours. And therefore, nobody else should have it, because you are a king to yourself, from your own skin in. And therefore, when you build something, it's yours. When you build a savings account and you put money into it, that should be yours. When you buy a house, it's yours. And you should be able to keep it and paint it any color you want. You should build a business, and it's yours. You should build relationships, and they should be yours. You're sovereign. And no tyrant, whether it's an individual, a company, a country, a group of people who come together and say, we're smarter than you, have a right to those things. Once, for me, that's my philosophy, and everything else builds from that. That's why I find things so abhorrent when somebody says, no, you've got to call me by this title. No, you see, as a sovereign, you don't have a right to my language. You have a right to your own language, and I respect that. You have a right to believe you're a woman. You have a right to that. You have a right to your own words. I have a right to my words. You have a right to your beliefs. I have a right to mine. That's true tolerance, because we're equals. You're a king. I'm a king. Pretty cool, ain't it? All right, let's take a quick breather here. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. 29 minutes after, welcome. Good morning. I'm John Caldera, in for Pete. Tell you what, let's just get right to some of these phone calls. Nick, welcome. You're with Caldera. Glad to have you.
Thanks for taking my call. I think the problem is that in the last 70 years, the people who believe in your philosophy and my philosophy, that you are sovereign, you the individual are sovereign, not the state. The people who believe in what you believe in have done a horrible job explaining your philosophy to the masses. And on the other hand, the other
Stop there. Amen. You hit it perfectly. All right, keep going.
And the other people have done a superb job in justifying their philosophy.
I disagree with that, but keep going.
But this you can't even call it liberal, because a liberal 150 years ago or so meant you were a conservative. So they've not only usurped the language, they attach any meaning they want to it. And one of the problems is that human beings are basically lazy, like every living thing on this planet. And in order to really think things through, it takes effort. It takes mental effort. And most people don't want to do that. And that's where it comes full circle back to the people are on our side of the fence have done a bad job of breaking the problem down into small enough chunks so that everybody can understand them.
Let me try this. When you said we've done a lousy job, we have. When you say they've done a great job explaining their philosophy, no, I don't think so. I think they've just been very expeditious giving out free stuff. And
right.
Free stuff works. And, hey, you want security? We'll give you security. Hey, you want free health care? We'll give you free health. Free works. And it's just expedient. They haven't sold Karl Marx. Karl Marx sold a philosophy. And there are some great socialists out there who will sell a philosophy, and I respect them. I honestly respect them. They will get in the mud with me, and they'll go, no, Caldera, you're wrong here, and here's why collectivism does work. And they are true believers, as I am a true believer in the opposite way. They used to be many. They are now few. Instead, we now have power-hungry people who buy their power by giving away stuff. And at some point, it explodes. As Margaret Thatcher has said beautifully, the problem with socialism is sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And that explosion will happen, maybe in my lifetime. I think more likely in my kids' lifetime. And certainly in the next generation's lifetime, it's just unavoidable. There will be an economic collapse that makes the Great Depression look like a picnic. And it's
exactly.
Unavoidable.
Yes.
So, go ahead. Sign on to socialism. Go for it. Have a great time. But it cannot last, and it's going to put us into a totalitarian state. Either call it collectivism or fascism, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter to me. And we are all going to be worse off. But you're right. We have done a lousy job with economic education. Parents have done a lousy job with economic education. I feel bad about this, and I mean this quite genuinely. Here we are at an economic crossroads in America. We are hitting the breaking point that we can no longer afford to get ourselves out of this, I believe, unless we stop spending and start creating. We can grow our way out of our economic problem if we recognize the economic problem. And I wonder, for all those generations who have saved this country, who started our country, who saved us in the Civil War and World War II and gotten us out of so many messes, and they had Timmy sit on their lap and said, "Grandpa, what did you do during the big war?" And I said, "Well, I was a mechanic here, and I did that, and I stormed the beaches, or I was on the ship," or whatever it was. And during economic ruin, where we're just spending our grandkids' money hand over fist, they're going to sit on our laps and go, "Grandpa, what did you do during the big one?" And we're all going to say, "Well, we sat at home and watched a lot of Netflix. We were AWOL while our country went down the tubes because we wouldn't teach our kids about these simple principles." And that's our failure. That's my failure.
Well, you know, Milton Friedman said it another way. Margaret Thatcher said it one way. Milton Friedman said it another way. You cannot afford to have a welfare state and a warfare state at the same time. You soon run out of money, because the demands of the welfare state are insatiable. There's no end in sight. Once you give a goodie away, they want a second goodie and a third goodie and a fourth goodie. And the one area that I would disagree with you, I don't think this economic collapse, if we don't radically change course, is going to happen a generation down the road. I think it's going to happen inside the next 10 years. That's my personal opinion.
I used to think that as well, but the power of inertia is amazing. Keep in mind, when Nixon took us off the last vestiges of the gold standard in the early 70s, people like you and I thought, "This is it. This is it. It's going to blow up now." When the 2008 housing crisis happened and Obama started printing up money out of nowhere, you know, I was thinking, "Well, this is it. This is it." And no, it just kept on ticking. Inertia in our system just keeps going. I've always been surprised how long it just keeps rolling.
However, from a economic point of view, which is essentially a mathematical point of view, and math, as you well know, does not care about your feelings. It just is. 4 + 4 = 8. I don't care if that offends your feelings. It just is. So deal with it. I just think, well, when you look at economy, and once an economy, once a country's debt is something like 140-150% of what it can produce in 1 year, that's when the you-know-what hits the fan. And we are roughly at about 106-110% right now. And if we keep going, we're going to be at that 150% mark much sooner than you think.
You say that math doesn't care about your feelings. You're right and wrong. In the same way, I thought that chromosomes don't care about your feelings. But you call a guy who thinks he's a woman a man, and the whole world goes crazy. You might say that this money is worthless, but economies are also built on faith, feelings. And when people feel that this dollar bill is still worth something, this fiat dollar is worth something, that feeling keeps us going. We don't have a commodity-based or gold-based system. We have a faith-based monetary system. And
look what happened in Germany after the First World War. And you know the history better than I do. They could not pay the reparations primarily to the French, because the French were pissed at the Germans, because every time the French and the Germans got in a war, usually the Germans won. And this was France's opportunity to get even with the Germans. The Germans couldn't pay the reparations. They inflated the money, and the whole thing collapsed inside of 3 or 4 years. And when that happens, people lose all faith if the money is worthless, if it doesn't buy anything. That's where faith goes out the window.
It does.
Because then the evidence is clear. Your money that the government printed up is worthless and won't even buy a loaf of bread.
We are nowhere near that. 5% inflation is nowhere near that.
You're right, but unfortunately, the real world has a nasty habit of upsetting the apple cart.
It sure can. All right. I'm gonna say goodbye to you right now so I can talk to Jay. Thanks, Nick. 303-696-1971. Jay, welcome. You're with John Caldera. Glad to have you.
Hey, thank you so much. I forgot what I was going to tell you now, but you got a good show. There's so many things going on. So I had something on my mind, but, you know, like Ronald Reagan, I don't know where to start now. You know, you got a great show.
No worries.
There's so many good. No, you talk about so many good topics, and I appreciate and I admire you because you're a voice of us. Or I mean, people, like-minded individuals of all who I am, you know. But we don't have a voice. You are on the radio, so therefore you have more voice.
We all have a voice, and so, you know, it is fascinating.
But you can reach out and touch people more than I can, or any.
I can, and that's usually what causes the restraining orders.
And that was funny. But anyways, you know, like Ronald Reagan said, you know, the greatest revolution. It's a poster in my house, you know. It's common sense. But common sense is going out the window.
It's hard to teach our kids to live within their means when we don't.
Go ahead.
Well, it's hard to teach our kids to live within our means when we don't live within our means. And the debt package, I'm glad we didn't default. Sure, wonderful, fine. Take the victory. It's a small victory. I would have voted for it. It was a step in the right direction. But still, this debt issue is a huge one. We can still win if we stop spending and if we unleash growth. It's not a difficult thing to do. What we have to do is lower taxes, unleash these regulations, that is to back off these regulations and let the system grow. We can grow our way out of this debt.
True. I'm going to tell you, give me a second here. Yeah. I was born and raised on a farm. I'm 48 years old now. So I was born and raised on the farm, and we had cattle, chickens, everything else, you know, and I got into construction, and I've owned a trucking company. And therefore, I understand the logistics of hard work and common sense and building businesses. I've had 3 companies of my own, you know, running trucks on top of farming. So I understand it from the beginning. I mean, from all of it, I mean, us farmers, you have to see all aspects, you know, of every life and of every nature of all aspects of life. And it's almost like that's why I said, Reagan, common sense is not so common anymore. But it takes hard work, but you got to get down to the logistics of things. You know, it's so almost like I say that I'm going to throw something at you and you're probably going to be mad at me. But that's okay. I never push my beliefs on anybody. You know, I don't, I mean, do I understand there's a higher power? Yes. Did I grow up Catholic? Yes. But I don't push that on people. I don't wear a cross around my neck. I don't tell them to believe in the Bible. Each belief is to their own, each to their own. But therefore, I don't push anything on people. And these transvestites and stuff, they're pushing it on people because they're trying to recruit like an army does. They're trying because there's not enough of them. So they have to try to recruit all these queers. I'm sorry I said that, or however they want to say it. But they can't get enough people, so they're trying to recruit, and they're doing these things to the kids. which that's mutilation. That's torture. That is not right in my way of life. You don't, they can't have enough of themselves. Give them their own state. Let them live in their own state. Psychologically, you don't have to be a genius to be a scientist. Fine. If you truly believe, I truly believe in everything I believe in. If you truly believe in what you believe in, then
that was,
go by your
that
own
state. That was one of the greatest statements I think I've ever heard. That was right up there. I truly believe in everything I believe in.
Well, if you truly
believe
in it.
That was a Yogi Berra-ism.
Well, is what I'm saying. I practice what I preach. If you practice what you preach, therefore, fine. If you want to be lesbian, if you want to be gay or guy, whatever, scientifically, they cannot reproduce themselves, so they have to recruit. You see my point? If you're truly a gay guy, then go be gay. If you want to truly be a lesbian, go be a lesbian. No problem. But if you truly believe in what you believe in, you will not be able to repopulate.
I don't think that's that simple. That's a worry. Let me grab that one.
You grab that one.
You don't
argue with
homosexuals. That one. Don't need to reproduce. There have always been homosexuals. There will always be homosexuals. More power to them. I have no problems.
Absolutely, I don't have no problem.
Then I'm not too sure what your point is.
My point is that they cannot repopulate if they truly believe in what they believe in.
Well, I don't know what that means.
A gay guy and a gay guy cannot produce a baby.
That's true.
A lesbian and a lesbian cannot produce
and
a baby.
And therefore what?
Therefore, then they're a dying breed.
No, they're not a dying breed.
No, hang on. You missed it.
All right.
You put two girls together, can they produce a baby?
Obviously not. But what's your point?
If you put two guys together,
we've already covered that. But what's your point?
Yeah. The point is that they're not practicing fully what they believe in.
No, that's the part I don't get. Help me out. Slow down. Practicing what they believe in. What they believe in is that they love someone of their own sex. So they certainly are practicing what they believe in. So what do you mean they're not practicing what they believe in? Say it slowly so I can understand.
Okay, I apologize. So the point is if...
What do you mean they're not practicing what they believe in? Focus on that statement. Very quickly, I'm late for a break.
Okay. If they're truly that way, they're having to adopt people. They're having to include people.
What do you mean
like
if they're truly that way?
If they're truly gay, then be gay.
You keep saying that, but I'm not following you.
Okay, well, they
obviously
cannot reproduce.
Gay people cannot reproduce naturally. That doesn't mean
Correct.
There's not going to be gay people in the future because gay people happen
naturally. That's
fine. Naturally.
I don't have a problem with gay people. I don't have a problem with them being
gay.
I
never said you did.
I don't have a problem with that. But they cannot reproduce.
That doesn't mean they are not going to exist in the future. There have always been gay people.
You're missing my point.
That's why I'm asking you to make the point, because you're doing a lousy job of it. What's your point?
The point is two girls cannot create another girl.
Agreed. You don't need to repeat that. So what's the point?
The point is that they're a dying breed.
No, they're not.
No,
how can they be a dying breed if there's always been gays?
Okay, hang on a minute. Slow down for a second. If you cannot reproduce anything, I don't care if it's growing corn or if it's making a kid. If you can't reproduce something, therefore you're going to die off.
No, you're not. Were there gays throughout history?
Correct.
Well, then how did they continue on?
Okay, let me say it this way.
Gays don't reproduce. So therefore, that's not how they continue on.
Okay, let me say,
all right, we're going in circles. I got to run. Have yourself a great morning. 303-696-1971. It's not like gays reproduce that way. That's not how they're created. Maybe there's a genetic component to people who are gay. I've noticed in families there's sometimes a genetic component. On one side of my family, I've got a lot of folks who who are gay. Okay, maybe there's a genetic component. Maybe there's not. That doesn't mean that gay people have to reproduce in order for that to continue. Gayness has been throughout history before they could even adopt. So it's not like they're going to die out. That's not going to happen, obviously. So whether they adopt, whether they have surrogate children, it's not like they're going to go away, period. Right? All right, 303-696-1971. John Caldera in for Pete. Keep it here. You're on 710 KNUS. We've got about 6 minutes to the top. I'm John Caldera in for Pete. Pete, thanks for letting me sit in for you. Hope I didn't chase away all your listeners. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. I got a final thought on name calling. Yeah, out of the blue. Let me try this one. And I forget who wrote this. Somebody brought it up in a conversation. I just thought I'd share it. And it's about how the left puts everyone into the fascist category. You've heard the term Antifa. Antifa means anti-fascist. I'm always amazed. I've been talking about how I went to this Roger Waters concert and everybody's a fascist and he's fighting fascism and Reagan was a fascist and every American's a fascist and the news here in Colorado, you know, anti-fascists are wonderful. Antifa can't be bad. Antifa doesn't do any sort of pro-violent stuff. Antifa can't be pro-violent. Antifa doesn't riot. Antifa is not a hate group. No, Antifa is just wonderful. They're not like the KKK, don't you know, because they fight fascism. Isn't it odd that fascists are like, well, let's see, Milt Friedman was a Jew. Hitler hated Jews. Friedman hated the military. Hitler loved the military. Friedman loved the individual. Hitler hated the individual. We can go down the route.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.